How do you deal with angry people?
I've tried to be friends with people who are chronically angry, and it always goes bad. Either I will get mad at them and then they get mad at me, or I'm sitting there and becoming the target. Because see, a really chronically angry person, if you won't get angry, then they're mad at you. They may have been mad about something else, but now they turn it on you. And they're mad. You're the bad person because you don't hate the same people I hate, because you're not as mad about things as I am. And sometimes, sadly, you just have to realize this relationship is not working.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
You can probably think of someone that gets angry quite a bit. They're quick to show it when things aren't going their way or someone irritates them. Or maybe if you're honest with yourself, that's you. Today on The Balanced Word, we'll see how to have victory in this area. There's a smarter way of living, and the Proverbs points that out to us. Pastor Dave Rolfe is about to help us process our emotions in a constructive way and deal with our frustrations and insecurities as God would have us.
In addition to praying, sometimes it's a good chance for us to, as we are processing in this thing, sometimes we just need to go ahead and express it like journaling. That's what David did. He journaled. I'm not a big journaler. I have journals with pens, and every few months I'll open it up and go, wow, it's been a while. But even when I do journal, I look back at things that I wrote and either go, what was I thinking? Or I go, some things never change. Or I go, it was good for me to say that. So when you write, it helps you process and to think and to work through things. You have to put it into words that are clear. And I think most of us would be much healthier if we journaled more. It was certainly a big outlet for David, and there are a lot of people who would just tell you journaling is really important to their mental health. But I think, too, sometimes write a letter to the person that you're mad at and just tell them exactly what you think. Don't hold back. Use any kind of language that you want. Really put it down, and you're like, this nails it. This is what it is. And then just hit delete before you send it. You know, or just print it out and wad it up and throw it away. And the amazing thing is, you've processed it, you've expressed what's on your heart, that will give you insights about yourself, and you haven't done the damage that you do when you go, I'm gonna give you a piece of my mind. You don't need to do that. Most of us don't have a piece to spare. And so, you know, but just to be able to express it sometimes helps. Going through this processing, the point is, it's totally possible for us to process the anger that erupts and to be able to find a constructive way to deal with it in a way that'll end up not doing the kind of damage that when we react in a strong way that we actually end up perpetrating. So that's a task for you to learn. Work on that. Get to understand yourself more, find appropriate ways to express it, incorporate it into your prayer life. But how do you deal? It's one thing to deal with your own anger. It's a whole different problem to deal with other people's anger. Because when you have someone in your life who is always angry, they're always uptight, quite often the reason they're that way is they haven't learned at all how to process anger. And so it just comes out, and you're there, and you're the handy target for it. And it's like, wow, what do I do then? Well, Solomon has some things to say about that. Turn over to Proverbs 15 and verse 1 and 2. He says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. You know, almost every emotion that you have, if you express it, it's sort of contagious. It can, your temperament, your reactions can rub off on other people. And we have to understand this. Usually when people are mad, they really want other people to be mad with them. Like, you're right. You know, yeah, you should hate that person. Let's go kill him. I'll help you bury the body. Come on, we're friends. But the best gift you can do for somebody is to say something calming that helps them to just slow down. Sometimes we just need to hear someone say it nicely and say, hey, let's check into this. It's such a blessing when you have people in your life who give that soft answer, who don't just jump on your bandwagon with you and go, yeah, we're angry. A lot of times angry people hate it when somebody gives them a soft answer. Like, I want you to be as mad as I am. If you don't hate people as much as I do, I don't know if there's any place for you in my life. But the soft answer sometimes can really make a difference, and we need someone who can say, as much as we need to do this ourselves, calm ourselves down, it's really good if you have people in your life who can go, okay, just a minute, we can kill them later, but right now, let's just see what the best thing to do is, and let's try to understand this and gain some insight. I've had some people in my life who are consistently that way, and I'm so thankful for people like that. I remember years ago when I was at Calvary Costa Mesa, I had a high school principal there named Jeff Roberts. And I would be wrapped up in something, I'd hear something that happened, and I'm like, let's fire him, let's do this, let's. And Jeff would, he was such a calm person. He would just always go, okay, let's look into it and let's get all the facts first. And then if that's what you want to do, we'll do it. But he had this ability to, no matter what was going on, to keep a cool head. And I always admired and respected that so much. And it was such a benefit to me. Because when I would get fired up, he would be able to just go, okay, I get that, you're probably right, but let's just get a little more information first. Let's slow things down. And so a soft answer, being the person who can say a voice of calm that sometimes is actually contagious, that might rub off on other people. If somebody will be mad with you, that feels really gratifying because you're sure that you're right because somebody else, and they agree with me. This happens in churches all the time. Somebody gets mad about something, and they love to find a few other people who will also say, yeah, I'm mad too. And they're like, lots of people have complained about this particular thing or event or whatever. It somehow makes us feel justified when other people are as ticked as we are. But that doesn't help anyone to just fan the flames of their wrath. But to try to be a calming influence. It's uncomfortable sometimes because some people just do not want to be calm. But at least there's an opportunity to try a soft answer and see if that might help someone. Maybe some of us who are really caught up in our anger have never had anyone who would do that. Maybe you grow up in a family where everybody's just mad all the time and you just think that's normal conversation. To be able to calm it down is a real gift. But sometimes you just can't do that. And if you turn over to Proverbs 22, and this is a real sad verse, Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Solomon says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. When you've tried a soft answer and it's just not working, and when you are around an angry person who's always mad about something, if you continue to nurture a friendship with someone like that, they will rub off on you. Because chronically angry people want other people to get angry with them. There are some churches that they're just all about being mad at, oh, look at what's happening in the world, and look at this, and look at that, and it's like, ah. And people who want to feel justified in being out of control, they love that kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, we get together every week and talk about all the people that we hate. And, you know, but is that really who you want to be? It's the opposite of what wisdom does. Try to calm things down and be, you know, be reasonable. But at some point, you have to say, if I'm going to be healthy, I cannot be friends with somebody whose anger is out of control. I cannot subject myself to hearing their venom regularly and then still maintain the kind of character and the kind of personality and the kind of emotional stability that I want for my life. Now, it seems kind of cruel to say that, that sometimes you just need to cut somebody off and say, we can't be friends in the way that we've been. It's hard. Sometimes it's a family member, somebody very close to you, and with all the problems and you'd love to fix it, sometimes you just have to go, this isn't working because I'm getting sucked into this too. And I don't know if it's my fault or your fault, but we're not good together. We can't be friends. I've tried to be friends with people who are chronically angry, and it always goes bad. Either I will get mad at them and then they get mad at me, or I'm sitting there and becoming the target. Because see, a really chronically angry person, if you won't get angry, then they're mad at you. They may have been mad about something else, but now they turn it on you. And they're mad. You're the bad person because you don't hate the same people I hate, because you're not as mad about things as I am. And sometimes, sadly, you just have to realize this relationship is not working. You know, the weird, sad thing, ironic thing is people who are chronically angry desperately feel like life is out of control. They are frustrated. They are fearful, and they need friends. And yet, they won't let you be their friend sometimes. They won't let you calm them down, talk them down. They're going to pull you in, and next thing you know, you're as angry as they are. And everyone needs friends. Everyone needs people in their life. None of us are created to be independent of other people. We all have within us a deep need to be connected to others. But chronic anger is going to break that ultimately, because nobody wants to be the next target of your venom. And so, and then sadly, that makes angry people even angrier, because like now they're not only angry at what happened, but they're angry at the fact that now their friend doesn't love them anymore either. But it's wise. It's Solomon. And he goes, yeah, sometimes you just have to say, I can't be around you because you bring out the worst in me, and I'm not fixing you. You can try to help someone for a period of time, and at some point, wisdom just says, just like when we were talking last week about you can't fix stupid. You know, if somebody's intent on being a fool, you're not going to fix them. And so all you'll do is make things worse for yourself if you try. Sometimes you just have to back off. And it's a hard, sad thing to do, because there are people who I love who I can only have minimal contact with them, because I know I don't deal well with their anger, and I'm certainly not able to calm them down. So I just don't want to set myself up as a target. Sometimes in families, if there's somebody who's chronically angry, the weird thing that you'll notice, maybe some of you experienced this with your parents or with siblings or whatever, the person who tries to help the angry person the most becomes the biggest target. You know, if you're there and you're a handy target, they're terrible. With some people who are angry, the best way to be on their best side is to not see them very much. And then they throw you in the face of the person who's the caregiver, and you know, you get the brunt of it all. That's just the way it works. You can't be close with people who will not control their anger. It just doesn't work. So either they figure out how to manage that better, or you have to just go, well, we're kind of limited in the amount of, you know, interaction that we're able to have. Sometimes this gets real tricky, and I don't have all the answers about it, but it's something you have to think about and consider. Finally, turn over to chapter 19 of Proverbs. And this is sort of a sad and ominous way to end it, but Proverbs 19 and verse 19. Just like you can't fix stupid, he says, a man of great wrath will suffer punishment. For if you rescue him, you'll have to do it again. Not only can you not have a deep, intimate friendship with somebody who has an anger problem that they won't deal with, but ultimately, you can just keep bailing them out, and they're going to keep going right back to doing it. Because if somebody has decided this is who I am and I'm right, they've put themselves in a position where they think they can judge everyone else. You can help them, but you're going to be helping them again and again and again because they're going to keep doing what they're doing. So what do we do with all of this ultimately? Again, the key thing to understand is that when my anger is like an idiot light on the dashboard, it lights up, but the idiot light is not the problem. If your idiot light comes on your dashboard and you just break it with a hammer, you didn't fix it. There's still something wrong in the engine, you're just not looking at the light anymore. And so that light is telling you when you're impulsively reacting in anger, that light is telling you there's something else that's wrong. And I can tell you right now, for the most part, what that problem is, what's wrong, is that you think you have a control problem. You think that you should be able to have life your way. You think that other people are there to do what you think they ought to do. You think that God is someone who is reading your mind and giving you what, the life that you want, that you perceive that you deserve. And that's a huge issue. Now, there might be some of you here who don't even have a relationship with God. And so I get it that you think, what does this have to do with God? But first, I want to say to people who believe that there's a God, people who believe that God actually loves you, you need to ask yourself, if God is God, and if he's working in my life, and he tells me I should be content because his blessings are everywhere, what am I so mad about? Why do I think I should tell God how to be God? For those of you who don't know God and don't have a relationship, you have a much bigger problem. Because if you don't believe there's a God, then it is out of control. The trouble is, even for you, your anger isn't going to help it. It's only going to make it worse. The thing, though, that you need more than anything, if you've never had a relationship with God, you need to realize God is the one being in the universe that loves you unconditionally and loves to forgive you. He wants to, no matter what you do, he wants to say, hey, that's okay. Let's keep moving forward. I have a plan for your life. Those things that frustrate you might be things that I've planned to actually do the best thing for you imaginable. And you're getting mad at things that are going to end up being huge blessings in your life. I just want to encourage you, if you've never entered into a relationship with God, just give him a chance. Just taste and see. You'll find out how good he is. You'll find out as you open your life to him, as you begin to consider the possibility that maybe there is some brilliant person, some being who made all of this, who actually does have a plan, and it's all going to work out fine. That we don't have to get all mad about things that happen because there's somebody who can actually turn bad things into good things. And if that's you, man, just today, receive his forgiveness. He sent his son to die for you. You can live your life in uncontrolled anger, and if there's no God and there's no Jesus who died for you, then I can't even give you a good reason why you shouldn't be mad all the time. Because the truth is, it's not only out of your control, it's out of everyone's control, and we're all just going to spiral downhill until we destroy this planet. If that's what you believe, I respect that. But if there's something inside of your head that's just going, maybe there is some logic. Maybe there is some forgiveness. maybe grace is a thing. Maybe there's a way to actually start over. Then I would encourage you today to just pray a little prayer to him and invite him to show you who he is. There'll be people down here in the front who would love to pray with you and just lead you in a simple prayer so that you can give God permission to begin to convince you and show you that he knows what he's doing, that he has a great plan in mind for your life. Nothing will help you calm down the passion and the anger and the heat that's inside of you that you can't get rid of, like turning yourself over to him and saying, okay, this is your deal. You're the one who's in control, and that's a good thing because you're smarter than I am. You know more than I do. So if that's you, get right with God today. For the rest of us, anyone's welcome to come up and receive some prayer. You know, maybe you're just thinking about it and going, man, my anger has been out of control. If you'd like somebody who loves you to pray for you, come on down to the front and just get some prayer. This is something that we can win in. We can have victory over out-of-control, angry responses. We don't have to live that way. And there are simple ways to do it, but ultimately, it's all about just saying, God, you can do whatever you want. I'm going to be okay with it. I'm going to find the good in everything that you do. And as we learn that, then we lose that sense of everything's out of control. I mean, again, I would be freaking out if I didn't believe in God. That's for sure. But I believe in God. So I'm not worried about what's going to happen to the world and what's going to happen over here and in this situation and the economy and everything. No, because I believe in God. If that's us, then let's figure that out, begin to process it, learn about what is it in us that drives us to this passionate need to control things and approve of everything that God does. Let's just trust God and see what that does to our sleep, to our peace, to our ability to feel things that are anger, and then to be able to let them just melt away as we work our way through it.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Now to finish things up in prayer, here again is Pastor Dave.
Lord, I thank you that you understand us. As Jesus was tempted in everything as we are, feeling the same frustrations that we feel, feeling the same insecurities, being tempted in everything as we are, yet he didn't sin. He never let that get to him. He never let it eat him up. He never let that frustration and fear turn him into somebody that he wasn't. So thank you, Lord, for understanding us. For people who are here today who've never really even given control of their life to you, they've just been controlling themselves and yet they can't even control themselves. They certainly can't control others. I pray that today they would discover the glory and the wisdom of just believing in somebody who loves them absolutely, who will forgive them for anything, and allowing you to have control of their lives. Help them to know this is real. And it's going to kill them if they continue to resist the obvious gift of your son for their lives. Help all of us to become wiser, more discerning, smarter with the way that we process things that we feel. And we'll give you all the glory for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Proverbs have a lot to say about wealth and riches, and we'll uncover some helpful principles on the subject next time on The Balanced Word with Dave Rolfe, a presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands, and